This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cavaliers fall tonight in Game 2 of the NBA Finals, 132-113, as Golden State seizes a 2-0 lead, and the series goes to Cleveland for the first time for Game 3 coming up on Wednesday night. And to talk about things from a Cleveland perspective, we welcome in one of the very famous bowlers in Northeast Ohio, one of the very famous writers in all of Northeast Ohio, and I'd say one of the best people in all of the Northeast Ohio area. It's Dennis Manilov, who joins us right now, courtesy of the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. D-Man, thanks for joining me tonight.
Kenny, it's an honor and a privilege, and I want you to ask you this.
Yes.
The expression literally is turn off the lights, but didn't Dandy Don used to say turn out the lights?
Wait a minute. You cut out for a second. Who said turn out the lights? Are we talking about Willie Nelson?
No, wasn't the expression turn off the lights, and Dandy Don on Monday Night Football used to say turn off the lights?
I think they both. I think Dandy Don might have said off, but I think that I've listened to the Willie Nelson song enough. I do believe it's turn out the lights.
Okay. Either way, that's what we're talking about tonight.
Oh, Dennis! So you think the series is over?
Sorry. I mean, come on, Kenny. You know I'm from Cleveland, and obviously I want the Cavs deep down to win, but if you're viewing this with any degree of objectivity, this series is over. It's only a matter of four or five games. Will the Cavs be able to steal one in their own building or not? But it's not going more than five games. You know it, and I know it.
I can't go back to last year, you know, because I'm trying to do this right down the middle, and it's hard, obviously. But I keep wanting to try to make myself comfortable. I can't go back to last year, though, because it was such a different set of circumstances. And I think that last year's experience did make this Golden State team better. And obviously adding Kevin Durant makes this Golden State team better.
Well, that's what you said it all right there, Kenny. I mean, even if they didn't have experience somehow and just added Kevin Durant, they were a team that hadn't been to the finals with that group, and they added Durant. That's enough. I mean, you look at the difference that Kevin Durant makes in this finals. It's why I thought that the Warriors were – listen, before the playoffs started, I said the Warriors would go 14-0. Their first 14 games would be victories in the playoffs. The one game they'd have to worry about was Game 3 against the Eastern Conference team in the finals. And the reason I thought 14-0 is because I saw what a dominant team they are. And, oh, by the way, they were super hot going into the playoffs, having lost just one game in, 3 weeks heading in. And you've seen why in these first two games. They're so dominant. I don't think anything that Cleveland throws at them is going to be enough.
Dennis Manilov joining us, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Okay, then what would be the next step during the offseason for the Cavaliers if it's already over?
Yeah, and Kenny, listen, I know there's a lot. You have tons of listeners in this town. I don't want to get screamed at for being negative, Nat, even though I just was.
I'm not screaming at you.
I'm not saying you don't play the games, okay? The Cavaliers need to try their best. They owe it to their fans. They owe it to the integrity of the game to go out there and bust it in Game 3 and Game 4. So I'm not saying that you just quit. I'm just looking at the reality of the situation. You're going up against the juggernaut. And if you're the Cavaliers and you do, in fact, get beat in four or five games, how do you come back with the same crew next year with the expectation that you're going to topple what you would assume is going to be the same dominant crew that you just saw? So I think there would have to be changes made. As to where you start, I don't know. I mean, obviously, King stays, but the rest of them, are, in my mind, are all on the table after LeBron because, I mean, again, Kenny, you saw it. I saw it. You really think this group is going to lick its wounds and come back next year and be better if it does, if there's not major changes?
So Kyrie Irving would be on the table?
you know, as painful as it is to say that, I'm watching the first two games, and it's like, okay, if I were a Martian and I hadn't seen basketball before, I'm like, well, what's all the hullabaloo about this Kyrie Irving guy? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think everything is on the table after LeBron. I really do. And I'm one of the – I'm a Kyrie guy. I'm not an anti-Kyrie guy. I just think that you have to explore all options if you're the Cavs, because obviously the Warriors took a ginormous step to topple you after last year by adding a top five player in the league. So I would think it's Cleveland's move, and Cleveland needs to counter with some legitimate changes.
Well, you look towards next year, and maybe we'll drive it back towards the series as it is, but you look towards next year as well, Dennis, that if Kevin Durant wants to stay for less money, which he said he's willing to do, then they can bring back Kevin Durant, and it really doesn't matter what happens with Klay Thompson. If they want to let Klay Thompson go to Portland or go wherever, they can let Klay Thompson go to wherever, and they'll be just fine, because you're still getting Kevin Durant. For the Cavaliers, you really can't say the same. And there's a very tough thing that Dan Gilbert has to do, which is spend even more money in Cleveland or make another big trade and possibly break up a nucleus, which maybe forces another year to get things settled in, with LeBron would be going from 33 to 34 in his career.
Yeah, and I get that. But listen, first of all, Ken, you're underscoring the vital importance that the Cavaliers retain David Griffin. I mean, why he's even twisting in the wind is beyond me. This guy should be the general manager of this team for as long as he wants to be, based on what he's done. If there's anyone I want to trust with sort of remaking this franchise to try to beat this new version of Golden State, it would be David Griffin. So I don't understand why he's not locked up for the next however many years. But your point about Klay Thompson, I mean, you think about this series, game two. All right, the Cavaliers get hammered in game one by Curry and Durant. Thompson is quiet, and here comes Thompson in game two. You know, so you think you can control one guy maybe or two, and another couple guys pop up. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, God forbid if the big four ever got clicking at once. I can't even imagine what that would be like to deal with. But they are incredibly versatile and have enormous amount of talent, and as you said, I suppose they could absorb the loss of Klay Thompson, and they would figure out a way to compensate.
Why do you think that Dan Gilbert has drug his feet so much on David Griffin?
I don't know, Ken. I wish you could tell me, because I'm trying to figure it out myself. Unless there's some sort of an ego battle going on here, I'm not privy to anything regarding those two guys, so this is just me speculating, my opinion, my guess. Could it be that Dan Gilbert, you know, got tired of Griffin telling him that he has to pay top dollar and excessive dollar to keep this roster together, because that's the cost of doing business when you have LeBron back? Is that something? Is it that David Griffin said, I want to be one of the highest paid GMs, if not the highest paid GM in the league, and Gilbert balked at that because he said, well, gee, how much do you really have to do? Which, by the way, I think is an insult, because I think Griffin does a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know what the deal is, but it certainly sounds as though and appears that Griffin and Gilbert are butting heads or not on the same page.
Dennis Manilov joining us courtesy of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Let's go back to the series. It's a 2-0 deficit right now. Are you disappointed in Ty Lue?
A little bit, but listen, I mean, he didn't forget how to coach basketball. He certainly didn't forget how to coach postseason basketball. I mean, he entered this series with a 28-6 record. So, you know, who am I to sit here and criticize Ty Lue? And, oh, by the way, had a title in his pocket in his first try. So mm-hmm. What I'm thinking is Ty Lue is going into, you know, a machine gun fight with some, you know, squirt guns. I mean, obviously LeBron is a great player. There's no question. He's the best player on the floor for my money, even though some people might argue Durant. I'm not going to do that. It's LeBron, okay? But after that, you know, how much does Ty Lue have at his disposal to counter what the Warriors can do? I mean, the Warriors have high-end talent. They have depth. They can score if you ask them to score. They can defend if you ask them to defend. And you've seen that in the first two games. When the Warriors need stops, they get them. When they need points, they get them. They can get them in a variety of ways. And I hate doing this, Kenny. I'm holding my nose doing it because I'm not, unlike some people, I'm not a Warriors guy by any stretch. I don't really like the team, to be honest, and some of their hijinks. But you got to give credit where it's due. And this team, it looks awesome to me.
Well, I don't think it's – Dennis, I don't think that that's a bad thing. I mean, if you can call it down the line, I can respect greatness, even though as a fan, yeah, you can't stand him as a fan. But good play is good play, and they're playing very well. They're playing absurdly well. I thought, though, it was a mistake tonight to run and gun so much for the Cavaliers because I just don't feel that they can get over with Golden State playing that way. Golden State, I think, can do it because they have the horses to do it and they have the horses to sit in and go back in and do those type of things, and they can get away with mistakes. I don't think that Cleveland can get away with the mistakes, and you started to see it got a little bit more sloppy at the end of the third quarter and end of the fourth quarter when they would try to push the pace and they'd end up throwing the ball away.
As usual, you're so right, Ken. I mean, when you look at the games the Cavaliers have won against the Warriors in the past few years, and specifically in the finals games, they're generally not the ABA scores, okay? They've had to defend, and they've done a decent job of it on balance. So it isn't sexy, but it has to be done. You've got to play defense against these guys. You have to get physical. You have to, you know, be grimy, if you will, and to try to get into a track meet with them is a fruitless exercise, even though the Cavs have a very good offense. Don't get me wrong. But they're better. Golden State's got a better offense, a more diversified offense. And here's the other thing, Kenny. I thought the one place where the Warriors would be vulnerable after they added Durant was the bench. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see any real fall off in their bench. I mean, no. Last time I checked, they still have Livingston. They still have Iguodala. They got McGee doing some things. They got other guys that help, David West and whatnot. I mean, you know, that was the one place I thought they were going to have to sacrifice in order to, you know, bring in Durant. And they shed Bogut and they shed Barnes, and I don't think they missed either one of them one iota.
Oh, I think you got Ian Clark there, and I think you're right. I mean, Andre Iguodala didn't do that much tonight, and you're thinking as a Cavs fan probably, thank God, Dennis. Because it would have been even more lopsided than what it was there towards the end. Dennis Manilov joining us, courtesy of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. All right, so what happens? Do the Cavaliers win one of the next two games, and does it force to five, or are we talking about a sweep here?
Here's the deal, Kenny. If the Cavaliers lose game three, there's no way they're going to get – they'll try to get up for game four, but come on. You know, the human side of them is going to kick in, and they're going to be like – we're not going to be able to overcome a 3-0 deficit with, you know, what, two more games at Golden State. So I would find it hard to believe if they lose game three that the Cavaliers don't get swept. If they win game three, then, as I said to you at the top of the hit, I think Golden State comes back and wins game four and then takes it home and wins it in five. As I can't say enough, though, it doesn't mean that you quit or whatnot. You give it every effort you have. You try your best. But I just think ultimately it's not going to be enough anywhere near.
Is that where the championship last year starts to hurt a team that's trying to defend?
Or you think and you mean were the Cavs affected by it, trying to defend?
Yeah, because, you know, when a team has a repeat – Dennis, I always thought, gosh, it's so much more harder to repeat than it is to actually win in the first place because the confetti's already out of the cannon, and it's been a year. It's hard to put that back in.
Yeah, except, Kenny, I don't think that affected these guys going into this series. I mean, maybe in the regular season there was a little bit of a hangover and they had to get their focus, but you know, by the time they got to these finals, they were locked and loaded, and I don't think there was any concerns about being the defending champ having an adverse effect on it. But Kenny, I know you got a ton of stuff to do in the rest of the night, but I want to say one thing too. Enough with this fallacy, this ridiculous notion that if the Cavs lose, it's going to be a negative on LeBron's legacy because he's going to slip to 3-5 in the finals. What a bunch of hooey that is, okay? just look at this year. If the Cavs lose this year to the Warriors, you're going to tell me that LeBron has to be held responsible and culpable for that, to lose to a historically great team in the finals? By that logic, you're saying, well, he'd be better off if he didn't go to the finals. You know, 2 years ago, you're going to hold LeBron responsible for that loss against the Warriors? No, I'm not. How about the first time he went with the Cavaliers against the mighty Spurs? You're going to hold him against that for that? No, I'm not going to do that either. So this idea that, wow, LeBron might slip to 3-5 in the finals and that's going to hurt his legacy, please, that's nonsense.
D-Man, I thank you very much for the time. You know I love you and appreciate you. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kenny.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.